Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Everybody that knows the Lord Jesus Christ says to everyone who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, Come. The woman at the well said, Come, see a man who told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Philip found Nathanael and said, We have found him of whom Moses and the prophets did write. It's Jesus of Nazareth. He's the one. It's him. And Nathanael said, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? You remember what Philip said? Come and see. Come and see. When Bartimaeus cried for mercy, many told him to shut up. But then the Lord Jesus stopped and called for Bartimaeus to be brought to him, and the people there said to Bartimaeus, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth for thee. And Bartimaeus rose, casting away his garment, and came to Jesus. Our text says the Spirit says, Come. Several are saying that in our text, but first, the Spirit. Why is the Spirit of God saying that particular word, and where is he calling us to? Well, that's from verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches, all the things concerning himself. Where our brother read that Psalm, David said, I'm going to talk about what he did. I'm going to declare how that he's kept every promise in the old days that he ever made. And he always will. I've sent mine angel, my messenger, to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am. The testimony of everyone who speaks for God is simply who Christ is. I am the root and the offspring of David. We talked about that. The root of David, the origin of David. I'm where David come from, and David's where I come from. If you understand that, that's very important to the gospel. Is he his son? Whose son is he? What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Well, he's David's son. Well, how come David called him Lord? And the bright and morning star. Everything that God's messengers testify of boils down to that, who Christ is. I am. And the Spirit of God, when the gospel is preached, we know what he does. The Lord said when he, in John 16, let's read that. Let me read it to you. John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, this is the Lord Jesus talking, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. That's necessary. We're not going to figure it out. I'm not smart enough to tell you, and so you'll know because I know. The Lord, by his Holy Spirit, is going to have to guide us into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. A lot of religion does. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't do that. Those that glorify and speak of the Holy Spirit so much, they don't have the Holy Spirit. They just pretending they do. Those who have the Holy Spirit speak of Christ. Because the Holy Spirit himself speaks of Christ. He won't speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. 'For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you.' You see how simple that is? The Holy Spirit of God says, come. He shows you who Christ is and what he did. And then according to our text, he says, come. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. The Father says, this is my Son, hear him. The Holy Spirit takes the things of Christ and shows them to us. Salvation is by Christ Jesus the Lord, the Son of God. And of course, all of the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him. So the two things that we're told that the Spirit of God does is take the things of Christ and reveal them to us. That happens every time we meet, every time the gospel. Unless this is just a religious exercise now, I pray it never be so. The Holy Spirit comes and reveals Christ, all about Christ, who Christ is, what he did, why he did it, where he is right now. And then he says, come. It's fitting that the Holy Spirit is the first one mentioned here as saying to sinners, come to Christ, because until God says come, I can't say it. I don't have any warrant. I don't have any authority to say anything unless God did. God's command to man in his sin in the beginning, in the garden, was not come. When man had sinned, God said, go. Listen to it in Genesis 3:23. Therefore, the Lord God sent Adam forth from the garden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Go. God can have no fellowship with man in his sin. Now, God had covered the sin of Adam and Eve by slaying an animal or two, and they had the fellowship that we as believers have with God now. But this banishment from God's paradise pictures how that access to God is now, since the fall, by the blood of Christ only. How did Abel find acceptance with God? By the blood. Adam's son Abel didn't walk in free communion with God as his father Adam had before he sinned. Abel was only accepted of God by the blood of the more excellent sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ. And by faith in Christ, Abel offered it. We're told that in the New Testament, that he might have fellowship with God. God had respect unto Abel and his offering, not unto Abel alone. And this is still the only way sinners can come to God, by grace through faith in Christ. We have access to God by the Lord Jesus Christ, who, as our forerunner, went into the presence of God with somewhat to offer, his own precious blood. God sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him might have everlasting life. And the Son of God himself did what? He told who he was. He spoke of what he came to do. And he said, come unto me. Come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. At that last great day of the feast, he said what? Whosoever's thirsty. Is anybody thirsty? Come unto me and drink, if any man thirst. And now that the Lord Jesus Christ is risen and ascended, as he said he would do, he sent his Holy Spirit to testify of him and to do what our text says he does. He says, come. It's so simple, isn't it? So simple. Come. It can't be too simple. The problem with religion, you know, they used to talk about easy believism. If God gives you faith, there isn't anything easier than believing on Christ. It's harder to fall off a stump than it is to believe on Christ if God gives you faith. But with men, it's impossible. It's so simple. Come. Don't do this and come. Don't become worthy and come. Come as you are. Come to Him. The problem with religion is where you're coming to. You're coming to a preacher or a priest or an altar or something. You're not coming to a person. You're not coming to this Christ of the Bible, who's sovereign, who saves whom He will, who commands sinners everywhere to repent. It's not, He doesn't beg. They'll stand there at the front of the church and beg you through 18 stanzas of "Just As I Am." I've been there. And I prayed that there wouldn't be a 19th. It was good for our prayer lives because we prayed, please don't let them sing that song again. I love that song now, though. It's so simple, isn't it? I come. Here I come. Lord, without one plea, but that You shed Your blood. My plea is what You did. And You said, come. So here I come. I like it. I have no warrant, no authority to say come unless God does. And so the Holy Spirit. But notice that the Spirit and the church are mentioned together. The Spirit and the bride. Because it happens at the same time. It's simultaneous. It's not some kind of a cooperative effort, but it is a matter of the means that the Holy Spirit uses to say, come. I'm not going to talk to you in a dream. I'm not going to talk to you when you're doing the dishes. He does it by the preaching of the gospel, and that's the business of the bride, by Christ Himself. The one business of God's church in this world is to preach the gospel. Not if nobody is ever entertained again in this world, we have what we have to do. It doesn't change it a bit. It has nothing to do with entertaining anybody, putting on cantatas and shows and plays. It hurts me to see people I grew up with now in religion, and they're putting on plays and they have these horrible, I don't even know what to call it. They try to recreate what God has done for sinners on a stage. How can that not strike somebody as obscene? I know how, don't you? Because we're that messed up by nature. We're that blind. But we do the same thing, don't we? The Holy Spirit does. We tell sinners who Christ is. That's the means that He uses. And what He did. And then we say, come. You see, to come to Christ is to believe on Him. You don't have to go anywhere to come to Christ. You do that in your heart. You do that maybe right where you sit when the gospel is preached. It's to believe on. You don't come down an aisle. That's not what the Holy Spirit's saying to you. Come down an aisle. He's not saying that. He's not saying come to the preacher. He's saying come to the bright and morning star. Take heed unto this word until the day star arise in your heart. And by God's grace, you see His glory shining in the face of His Son. That's what the Holy Spirit says, and that's what we say. You come to the sinner's only righteousness because you must be righteous before God. You don't have that within yourself. We're going to talk about being thirsty here in a minute. Being thirsty is not having in you what you need, so you got to go get it. You got to get it and put it in you. Take it unto yourself. necessarily. The preacher can't do that for you. He doesn't have anything to give you. Like the disciples, they said, what we have, we give unto you. And what did they do? They preached Christ. They preached Christ. They used the gifts of the Spirit to heal that man and then told why that happened. Don't look at us as though we did something. This is Jesus of Nazareth. This is his power. This is his saving grace. This is his healing. So you don't come to the preacher. You don't come to the front of the church. By God's grace, you come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. You come to the only sin offering that God will accept. And this is what our Lord has given us to do. Listen, Mark 16:15, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Do you hear what the Lord Jesus has given us to do? Do you hear the vital nature of that? The gospel we preach is so precious. It's so vital. It's so powerful. It is such a sacred trust that the Lord said, when you preach this gospel that I've taught you, whoever hears you, whoever listens to you and believes what you say, I'll save them. And whoever hears you and doesn't believe what you say, I'll damn them. No wonder Paul said, who is sufficient for these things? Seeing we have such a hope, we're very clear. Three things about how we preach the gospel because of this commission we received of the Lord. We use great plainness of speech. If faith or no faith is the difference between being with him forever or being in hell forever, I want to be real clear. Secondly, we're saying come to Christ, but we're not just saying come. You know, religion does that. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Who is he? Who are you talking about? The Lord warned us about you now. He said, lo, they'll be saying, here is Christ and there is Christ. But it's not the Christ of the Bible. We say come using every word of God concerning his son in this book, the whole counsel of God. And thirdly, we don't say it with indifference. It's not just here it is, take it or leave it. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5:18, and all things are of God. This whole thing is of God. Look at us here tonight. We are of God. Of God are we in Christ Jesus, who has made unto us everything we need. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. You don't go to God the Father, strictly understood as the holy God, to be reconciled to God. You go to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. It's one God. But you don't run up Sinai now and see what's going on. You got to talk to Moses. Moses, God said to Moses, you speak to the people. And they said, you speak to us for God. We don't want to hear directly from God. That's a picture of Christ. Reconciling the world unto himself, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world, and he hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's what the gospel is. Come to Christ. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. You see, it's not just here it is now, you take it or leave it. I'm going to go home and you decide what you're going to say. No, we beseech you by the grace of God. As though God himself did beseech you by us, be reconciled. There's nothing more important. We're given that one mission in this world. The ministry of reconciliation. That's what this is. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than my feelings. If we ever get the idea that this is about God's glory and God's purpose, and God's saving grace, we won't be such babies. I just got to say it plainly. Just a bunch of big babies is all we are, aren't we? If God lets us go for 5 minutes, we'll be whining and laying on the floor in the fetal position, talking about how bad everybody is to us and how they've hurt our feelings. It's bigger than us. I don't know how else to say that. Come. You remember when Paul talked to Agrippa? He preached to King Agrippa. Do you believe what I'm telling you? Do you believe the prophets, Agrippa? I know you do. I've felt that. I've felt the same way. I know what Paul's talking about here. I know you believe what I'm saying. I know that this gospel is undeniable. It's undeniable. And then Agrippa said, almost you persuaded me to be a Christian. And then Paul, he didn't just walk away and say, well, I hope it works out. You know, I hope it goes well for you. I hope you decide something or whatever. He said, I would to God that not only you, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. That's how we preach the gospel. Come. Oh, come with all of our hearts and all of whatever gifts God is pleased to give. The ministry of this church is come to Christ. You must have perfect righteousness before God. Come to Christ. You must have the acceptable sin offering, the only offering that God will accept for your sins. Your sins must be paid for, washed away. Come to Christ. You need rest from the burden and the impossible bondage of the law. Come to Christ. Are you hungry for the bread of life? Come to Christ. Are you thirsty for God like the little deer thirsts after the water brooks? Come to Christ. This message by which we compel sinners to come, it's not an invitation. If I invite people over to my house, people that don't come don't go to hell for not coming to my house. It's not an invitation. He said, you go out into the highways and the hedges and you compel them to come in. We do that by the message of Christ, that Christ is all, that Christ is necessary, that he is the Savior of sinners, that he is your only hope. And the scripture tells us to save some with fear, as though you're pulling them out of the fire, as though this building was on fire, and you're confused and you're disoriented. If I can do something about it, me and you are getting out of here. You know what I can do about it? I can tell you who Christ is. Oh, if that won't do it, nothing will. When the Holy Spirit says, come now, that'll do it. That'll do it. When he reveals the things of Christ to you. This message by which we compel sinners to come to Christ is the testimony of everyone who hears our testimony. The Spirit, the bride, And everybody that hears the call of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of God's church, and everyone who hears the message of Christ says to everyone who hasn't, come to Christ. Remember Numbers 10:29? Remember what Moses said? Listen to this. Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Reguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. You think what that represents spiritually? Moses said, I guess to his nephew, we're going to the place. And you know Canaan represents glory, the promised land. We're going to the place where the Lord said, I'm going to give it to you. The place we are, by God's grace, is the place where everything we need is given freely by God to the sinner. That's where we are. Come, come with us. We're going where God has given us everything we need. Listen, I will give it you, he said, I'll give it to you. That's our text. Take the water of life freely. Come with us, he said, come with us. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. Come with us. That's what everybody who hears says. Come. Come. Everyone who has come to Christ wants others to come to Christ. They say it with their priorities. They say, come. You say it with the fact that you're here tonight. You think about this. If you went to a certain store every time you left your house, you'd be saying to everybody that knows you, shop here. Shop here. And when you sit in the place of the worship of God at the feet of the Savior, you're saying, come to him. You know, you say it with your giving. You say it with your priority. You say it with everything you do. Come to him. Martha wasn't hearing what Mary was saying. You remember Martha was cumbered about much serving, and Mary was sitting at the feet of the Lord. And Martha wasn't listening to Mary. You say, well, Mary didn't say anything. Oh, yeah. She never opened her mouth. You know what she was saying? One thing is needful. Martha couldn't hear her, but she was saying it. There's one thing needful. That's what I'm talking about. You're saying that. With all that you do, with your priorities, with your giving, what you support, what your purpose is, what's important to you, without ever opening your mouth, you're saying it. When you give, you're saying, come to Christ. The only way we do this, the only way we preach the gospel, and by all of us together being committed to this work, we pay the bills and we do what's necessary so that this gospel goes forth and so that we have a place to honor God, whether anybody ever shows up here again or not. I want the gospel here to be a beacon to sinners. I want people to hear something about us and be curious maybe and come and hear of the only hope for sinners in this world, to hear of Christ. I don't want to be preaching on giving when they come. I don't want to be preaching on Satan and how to deal with him. I want to be preaching Christ and him crucified and what he did for sinners like us. Are you saying that? Are you saying come to Christ with everything that we do here to make this happen? We say it when we're asked. We open our mouths too, don't we? And say it whenever we're asked to give a reason for the hope that lies within us. Come, come and see, come and hear. Coming to hear the gospel now is not the same thing exactly as coming to Christ. But this is where you hear around these parts the message, come to Christ. This is where the Holy Spirit is going to teach you the things of Christ and say with invincible grace to you, come. It's not going to happen while you're mowing the grass. I want to tell this story again because maybe not everybody's heard it here. Most of you have heard it probably more than once, so bear with me because I want to make a couple of observations about it. Vicki used to work up here at the store, College Grove Grocery used to be, and a lady asked Vicki one time, I guess she found out I was a preacher somehow or another, and she asked Vicki if I would talk to her son. Her son was in some kind of trouble, and she wanted to see if I could say something to him that might make a difference. And Vicki said, absolutely, I'll ask him, but I can tell you right now what he's going to say. And she said, what? And Vicki said, he's going to say he needs to hear the gospel. And do you know what that woman said? Most of you do if you've heard this. She said, he already knows that. You think about how sad that is, how tragic that is. And that's what I want to say. I want to say first, what a sad and terrible thing to say. He already knows that. If he knew that, if he knew that the one thing needful was to sit at the feet of Christ and hear his word, he wouldn't be in trouble. Not that we don't have troubles. But if you know that, you do that. And the second thing is this. You know, life can seem so complicated, can't it? It's so, you think about what's going on with different people and you think, man, life is so complicated. No, it's not. Just because we mess it up doesn't mean it's complicated. It's so simple. Come. The difference between life and death is come. The difference between your life being a complete disaster and having peace and comfort and rest, and hope and life in Christ, it comes down to the most simple thing, doesn't it? One thing is necessary. Come. You remember what the Lord said to the Jews in John 5:39. Listen to this. He said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. He was always humiliating them regarding the scriptures. They would say something to him and he'd say, haven't you read the Bible? Because they prided themselves on knowing the scriptures. They could quote vast portions of the Old Testament. But he said, you need to look at it again. You need to, because you think you have eternal life in here. And every word of this book says, come to me, and you will not come to me. It's not complicated. They are they which testify of me, and you won't just come to me that you might have life. They searched the scriptures. He told them, search it again. All of the scriptures say, come to Christ. What kept them from coming to Christ? Their will. You will not. You look that word will up. It's not just a throwaway word. It means you have no desire, no taste for it. You're not thirsty. You're not thirsty. No man is by nature. Let him that is thirsty come. Why do sinners come to Christ? That's a question you could answer several different ways, but you know what one real good way to answer that is? Because they have to. They have to. A sinner that comes to Christ comes because he had to. Why do you come to water? I guarantee you, everybody in this room has come to water today at one time or another. It might have had a lot of bad stuff in it. It might have had, you know, Coke syrup, whatever that stuff is in it. But you've come to water this very day. Why? Why'd you do that? Your body has got to have a drink. It's got to have a drink. So does your soul, if God ever reveals to you your need and who Christ is, the only one that can meet your need. And he does that this way. That's why I equate coming to Christ with coming to hear the gospel. It's not the same thing exactly. If you're going to come to Christ, you're going to have to hear of him. How are you going to believe on him of whom you've not heard? How are you going to hear unless somebody preaches him? How do you come to Christ? By faith. You come believing. You come by necessity, as we've mentioned. But you know, you don't really need to know that. To come to Christ, you don't need to know how to come to Christ. That's like you know, there's a man drowning and you throw him a lifesaver. And he says, how am I going to get to that? You know, he's not going to say that. You know what the answer to that question is? How am I going to get to that lifesaver? Any way you can. That's how you're going to do it. Any way you can. But you're not going to have to ask that, are you? How am I going to get to that? You see your need. You see the solution. You're going to come. If God gives you faith, you're going to come. No man can come to Christ except the Father which hath sent Christ draw that sinner to Christ. You can't do it because you don't see your need. He said, I didn't come to save people that are well. I came to save sick people. Sick people. Everybody's sick by nature, aren't they, Chris? Yeah, but they don't know it. They don't know it. Ask them. We've never been in bondage to any man. The Father must draw the sinner to Christ, and when he does that, come you shall. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how the Father draws sinners to his Son. And no man can come. With men it's impossible. But wait, Chris, it says freely. It says whosoever will in this very text. No man can. With men it's impossible. Religion mistakes this call here as a call to everybody to come to Christ. It's not. It's a call to thirsty people. Are you thirsty? If any man thirst, let him come and take the water of life freely, whosoever will. Who is it that wants to come to drink? Thirsty people. It's a call to willing people. It's a call to unworthy people. Freely. Where'd you get that, unworthy? Freely. Freely. Listen to Isaiah 55:1. You know this passage. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come. Come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Freely, freely. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? You spend everything, all your energy, your interest, your support, your energy, your priorities, everything, all of your resources as a human being, pursuing that which will not satisfy you. When that which will satisfy you costs absolutely nothing, and you will not. Wherefore do you spend your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. You know, you'd think you wouldn't have to think real hard about that. Eat that which is good. Oh, you know, that's pretty simple, isn't it? Listen diligently, he said. Listen diligently. Because preachers are saying it. There's preachers around saying it, and nobody much is hearing it. I'm thankful for those who hear it. Eat ye that which is good. This world ain't it. This world has nothing good. I'm telling you right now, you know that as well as I do. Don't spend your money, don't spend your labor, and listen carefully, listen earnestly, listen diligently, listen urgently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. You'll never want for anything. You'll never want for anybody. He said, I'll give you your family and friend. You'll have family 100-fold. And you'll never beg. Incline your ear, the next verse says, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. So simple. So clear. He already knows that. Sadly, he does not. And he's like just about everybody in this world. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. You know what David said about those sure mercies? This is all that I need and all that I want. This covenant that God made with me in Christ Jesus. You don't get a drink of water for a decision. You don't get what you need from God for a profession, for walking an aisle, or doing anything. You take it freely. You take that which by nature you'll never take. But by the grace of God, you'll freely take of the Lord Jesus. We sang a while ago, thou of life, the fountain art, freely let me take of thee. May God give us grace to know that one thing is needful. And come to him and sit at his feet and hear his word and honor him if everything else around us doesn't get done. I'm going to honor him. Can we say that? I pray that the Lord will make it so. Amen.